Hey everybody, Brian Wimpin in Drive Through HR. William is out today, so it'll just be little old me talking HR with one of my fave practitioners in the whole wide world. So let's kick it off. I want to say thanks to show supporter, my partners over at People Clues. They do a great job of making HR technology just a little bit better with their assessments. Check them out, call them, you got questions, whatever, just get a hold of us. It's all good, peopleclues.com. So, it's Friday. It is Friday lunchtime in the central region, something else, everywhere else. And we need to talk to, again, one of my faves, Miss Robin Schooling. How are you doing?
I am wonderful, Brian. How are you? Loving the holiday season, loving the Friday, everything.
Well, that is good. It's it is definitely, you know, the holidays have different pressure and inflection points for people emotionally. So we see the good, the bad, the indifferent of that. So we're definitely in the middle of it. So you got all your Christmas and holiday shopping, whatever applies to you, all done?
No, not at all. It's horrible. I'm going to be out running around next week, I fear.
Fun.
Yep.
Well, you still have, I don't even know what day it is. Was it the 16th? All right. You still have like eight, nine shopping days to get my gift. So get on it.
I'm on it.
All right. So tell everybody, introduce yourself. Tell, you know, the folks, the few folks that don't know you. We've been having a lot of new listeners lately coming from some interesting places. I've been really thrilled by that and love the old listeners. And we got a lot of old listeners. So if you would like to introduce yourself for a couple minutes, a little bit about take us into the world of who Robin Schooling is. And then from there, we'll go to kind of what's top of mind and keeps you up at night currently.
Well, I am a, I always like to use Charlie Judy's term, trench HR person, because I'm in the field. I'm still in corporate HR in Louisiana, VP of HR for a statewide organization. And realized as I started, kind of reflecting on the end of the year in 2012 that next year will be my, oh my God, 24th year in HR, which I guess kind of says that I like it and intend to stay in it. I'm enhancing my day-to-day HR stuff, though, and have a blog and do some contribute to a couple other ones, and active with SHRM and all that good stuff.
Well, that's 24 years is a long time to do anything. So much less, this is not meant to be negative. It's just a fact that working at a statewide organization in Louisiana is sort of like working at the UN, because it is technically somewhat of a different country. And they're proud. Y'all are proud of that. And I embrace it. Love it. Ate a little Cajun last night. Well, sort of Cajun. It was chain Cajun. but at least it was an attempt, right?
That's right.
Thought about you, talked about you last night, always top of mind when we're talking about our lovely friends in Louisiana. So 24 years, a lot of time to think about it, been doing it a long time. What is currently keeping you up at night in human resources?
Well, interestingly enough, it's not what a lot of other people say is keeping them up at night, which is employee engagement. It's top of mind. It's always there. It's something that's always thought about and focused on, but I don't really trouble myself too much with it in terms of worrying that people are not engaged. And I think part of that is because I'm fortunate in that we tend to have an organization where many people are engaged. And I think one of the beauties of being in a smaller organization, mid-sized organization, is you can really keep your pulse on the current of what's going on and get a sense for things. And I think we do a fairly good job of you know, identifying things and addressing them before they snowball into something. So as an overarching concern, I'm not too worried about employee engagement. However, there are aspects to it that we will be focusing on organizationally and within HR in 2012, and those are the things that become top of mind because there are improvements that we can make. And so we're looking at some things like strengthening our internal communication practices.
Okay.
We know there's some opportunities there where we've sort of gotten into a organizational rut, if you will, we do communicate and we have all these mechanisms out there and people know what's going on. And we learned this year that that's not necessarily the case. So we've made some immediate adjustments to try to keep that top of mind. But there's some things kind of floating in the back of my brain of how to step that up a notch and do a better job of communicating, whether that be HR activities or, you know, things that fall in my domain, but also sort of organizational things that have to do with our customers or our products or our initiatives, and are we getting that information out internally. So that's sort of a key thing we're tackling, and part of that also becomes some work we're going to be doing next year to step up an increasing opportunities for all employees to collaborate and innovate on things together and kind of busting down some silos. Again, it's not something that's come up where people are extraordinarily frustrated and it's affecting their engagement, but we're aware that we have opportunities there. And so how can we communicate better, and then how can we use that to build on this sort of cross-functional collaboration, innovation opportunities, getting people involved in areas that they're interested in that may not necessarily be part of their job. So it's things that keep me up at night, but in a good way, because they're things that are exciting and energizing.
Sure, and that's all, you know, and that's always a good point. It doesn't need to be, you know, fatalistic and or this a big downer. It could just be like, man, we are so embracing new energy, new opportunity, you know, some new focus that, you know, you just get to be, as an HR professional, you get to be excited about. You don't have to be the heavy. You don't have to, like, you know, lament the fact that, you know, something's jacked up and you're fixing it. It's literally like, we kind of got everything squared away, right? And now it's about let's start going to the next level. I mean, I love to hear that, and it's a good reminder.
Yep.
For everybody, myself included. So on the communications things, I love that. I mean, I love the topic because we don't hear it that much. Where did you start? Kind of take us into your world on where you started thinking about that and kind of how those conversations went, so that the folks that are listening or download later and listen can have some frame, you know, have some framework around it or a frame around it.
Right.
Of, I wonder if it's an issue for us, right? So if they ask themselves the question, maybe hearing you kind of walk through just kind of your, you know, kind of how it, in your head it kind of all went to where you identified, I think this is a good initiative.
There were some indications over the years that we had some, I guess, bottlenecks more so than anything else, where information, I mean, and it could be the most innocuous sort of dull information, you know, here's our monthly revenue, whatever. And that information was released, you know, and sort of trickle down, you know, group A releases that and it goes to group B with the expectation that group B, perhaps department managers, will trickle that down to their staff. And we had a sense that sometimes that wasn't happening because employees would say, you know, obviously just passing in the hallway, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, we're doing X? Oh, well, we weren't aware. And so it caused us to kind of revisit the communication mechanisms and take a look at how things were getting out based on just these conversations. Then this year, 2011, and this was really very exciting organizationally, we did a long-term, you know, strategic planning process, an organizational strategy process to help us plan for the next 5 years. And it was everybody in the organization was involved to one degree or another and in multiple ways. And so there was a lot of very frank feedback that came, you know, from top to bottom to top, sideways. And one of the common themes that did come out and sort of reinforced what we had sort of heard anecdotally was we could use better communication. We would like to know not necessarily even what the organization is doing. Yeah, we kind of know that. Yes, we do get a lot of that information. We see it on the internet. We get emails. We have it in meetings. But cross-departmental communication. We in the sales department don't necessarily know what IT does or what IT is working on, or we in, you know, accounting really have no idea what the marketing department is doing. And not that everybody needs to be in the weeds or get every single detail.
Right, right.
Real thirst for just, you know, knowing things. And, you know, it was really kind of eye-opening to hear it and get it sort of aggregated and realize these weren't just little anecdotal stories or somebody who didn't check their email or didn't take the time to go on the internet or fell asleep in department meetings or whatever, but it really was an organizational gap that we had. And so we started the process of thinking, you know, how do we close that? You know, how many is it as simple as being mindful of how many times we share the message, and do we share it in multiple ways? You know, part of what we need to do is find out how people want to get information, and that's sort of kind of the first step that we're going through. What's the best way to get this to people?
Now, are you going to dedicate like somebody within your team and yourself that's going to really own, you know, kind of own it from a stakeholder perspective? This is the initiative.
Yes, we have plans to do that. We haven't necessarily identified who that's going to be, but yes, we have we realize that we need to, you know, really make this a defined project with a project owner and people with accountability and that sort of thing, so we can see if there are improvements. You know, so definitely we're going to do that.
Got it. Okay. Well, that's. I mean, that's exciting, and it's a really, really clearly defined kind of objective that I can't even think of any downside from that, especially if people are like, you know, I don't need to know everything, but it would be nice to know X or Y, you know, on a consistent basis. That's you know, that's pretty that's a good catch on y'all's part. So and once you know, are there any areas that you have a little bit of concern about opening up that really the more flowing communication?
I think I think there are always organizational sensitivities around certain pieces of information, why were decisions made, or you know, where's you know, what happened to Joe, or whatever the case may be. But we've also realized that, you know, sort of more on the reverse side, we've realized that a lot of the things that have been withheld, there was no reason to withhold them. And they really weren't that big of a secret anyway. And we're pretty much, organizationally, we are pretty much an open book. And any employee can go to, the CEO can go to a leader of the organization and ask a question, and we'll get an answer, and we'll get the answer, and we'll get an explanation. It's just we have to find a way to do that regularly. The organization that I work for is quasi-governmental, so we are, you know, public records and things like that. So, again, our, you know, our financials, our decisions that are made are all available for anybody to see at any time.
Got it. Well, that is, I mean, that's exciting to hear, and I can't wait to follow up next year to see how that progresses. We're going to do a quick reset, everybody. Listen to Drive Through HR, Brian Wimp and Robin Schooling just chatting it up currently on this wonderful Friday. How are things going with the HRIS system?
You know, actually, pretty good. That's sort of been our big project for 2011. Was implementing that, and we actually we've been able to implement the modules piece by piece, which helped. We really took our time, and we really dedicated the internal resources to allow us to take our time, which helped because we haven't rushed everything. So we actually just ended today our open enrollment period, and so we used that with the new HRIS system for the first time. It was beautiful. It has thus far worked perfectly. We're in the process of setting up and doing the implementation of the recruitment component of the system. We're going to launch that in January, and then performance management in March, which will probably also entail a kind of a redesign of our performance process and, you know, taking a look at it. I'm thinking to kind of get a group of managers and employees together and kind of talk through, you know, are we evaluating the correct things. We've done this in the past. That's how we incorporated the performance appraisal system we have now, was through kind of a team effort. You know, what do we want to capture in that? But I think it's time to redo it and relook at it. You know, do we need to assess different capabilities? You know, and I'm thinking, do I want to move and focus more on capabilities and how do we close the gaps? And then, of course, the whole sort of getting buy-in from everybody around performance management, because as we all know, nobody really likes performance appraisals. So what does that need to look like? And yes, there's the mechanical pieces of the process, but how do we redesign that for us? How do we make it more, you know, social, if you will, or, you know, more collaborative, you know, all those sorts of things. So that'll be coming up in the spring that we'll do that. And as part of the system, of the HRIS system, of course, but, you know, deeper than that.
Well, that's, man, that's exciting. It's so fun to, you know, over the last year and a half to, you know, almost 2 years now, hear you making the decision, you know, doing discovery, making the decision for your HRIS system, which is a big deal. I mean, that's like,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of like a, you know, organ transplant, an important organ transplant. Because it really truly your whole organization kind of hinges, either things are nice and easy or things are really rough because the technology is not working. But it's been fun to
really that was our biggest focus, was what's the experience going to be like for the employees and the managers. You know, sure, we wanted simplicity behind the scenes and a better system behind the scenes, but our key focus was what's that experience like for our employees and our managers?
Well, that's fantastic, and it'll be fun to, as you, you know, go continue on to the technology journey here within HR, to kind of just keep tabs on that and check in and see what you learn, good, bad, indifferent. So that's fantastic. So I got a different question. I don't think I've ever asked anybody this one before.
Ooh.
So I know it's enough of these softballs. Let's go to some curves here. What's one thing you learned this week?
This week? Wow.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Dang. I can say that, and really this just happened yesterday. In fact, I wrote a blog post about it this morning. We have a Baton Rouge Social Media Association, and I went to the monthly meeting yesterday, and I haven't been able to attend for quite a few months because it's conflicted with other things, but I went to the meeting yesterday, and the group has been around for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, and I've always been sort of the lone HR person there. Everybody's from marketing, some techies, some entrepreneurs. And I went yesterday. It was a small meeting. But what I learned was that still within my community, the involvement with social media, at least on that level, continues to be those same typical people. I had no HR folks that were there particularly. There's one lady that attends who's sort of a hybrid HR accounting office manager type. So she's had some, HR responsibilities over the years. But in terms of, true HR professionals or recruiters or anybody like that, there's still a lack of involvement, and even just in this very easy local level and a way to learn. So I learned that, and that kind of disappointed me, but I also wasn't particularly surprised, I guess.
Well, that's good. See, that's I like that. You're the first ever to get that question. That's an inaugural question.
And it wasn't anything spectacularly wonderful that I learned, but.
Well, but it's a points of clarity at times are pretty darn important as far as learning just where you're at with certain things, especially. From a profession standpoint, we always talk about, being a Shermite myself, it's advanced professional.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a really clear mission statement. And I always refer to that not only for, HR, but for a lot of things.
Right.
So, it's interesting. We've seen, I love to see new folks that pop up on, start following either the show or myself,
mm-hmm.
or one of the hashtags that I, stream, Trench HR or SHRM or TNL or,
mm-hmm.
Focus HR. There's lots and lots of hashtags or streams that I follow, and there's folks that have some really, I think, clever and insightful content. Like, hey, who is this person? And then I'm like, we're not connected. And then dig in there, and they're like, they're a professional from San Jose, or they do training in Lake Charles. I don't know if that really happens, but different
yes,
story. Okay. It's so cool. And so the more folks that I think we can get involved in whatever conversation, the virtual conversation, I know that there's some, it's interesting. China Gorman, when she was on, kind of talked about a little bit about, I used Twitter as the example, because I do think it's probably one of the best research tools that I have ever seen.
I agree.
In 25 years of really being involved as a professional, or at least in a profession, and it's collaborative. It's a fantastic networking tool, and it's amazing for protecting research. And so, I don't get real excited when I hear people that discount it, and it's like, well, you know, if they're not on Twitter and this and that, and I'm like, well, if they're not on Twitter, I want to know why they're not on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I really do. Because LinkedIn, yeah, easy, totally makes sense. I mean, it just is, I don't know, you know, what generation or headspace you're in if you're not on LinkedIn. I just think that's a critical component of being a professional, right? Yeah, I can see some professions where it doesn't make as much sense, and I get all that. You don't spend your life on the computer or on your smartphone, so I get that. Check. Move on. But if you're an HR professional, and if you're not involved with LinkedIn, man, you are buggy whipping it like nobody's business.
Yep.
Just wait till they get rid of you is all that I'm saying. Because ultimately, you know, it's not like you have to spend like hours and hours and have 25,000 followers on Twitter, but have 80 or 90 people that you want to keep track of a little bit of their comments and perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the price is right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's all the barriers of my company doesn't pay for it. I don't have time. You know, if you've got time to eat lunch and or breakfast and or dinner, then
yep.
Guess what? You have time. See, Twitter. I got Twitter on the brain.
Yep.
You have time to do Twitter and figure it out. I mean, that's just the bottom line is I ever buy that. That, you know, if you make the time. If it's important, you make the time. If it's not important, you don't make the time.
One of the pretty cool things that happened in the last couple of months was I had an HR colleague here in town who asked me if, and people will say this every now and again, oh, can you teach me Twitter? And so she asked me and she said, you know, I keep saying it, but we need to do it. Can we set up a time and sit at lunch and you can show me things? I said, absolutely. And she said, and can I bring 5 other people from my HR department and my VP of marketing? And I said, absolutely. And so we did a little, you know, brown bag lunch thing. Everybody brought their lunch. We sat in a conference room, and I ended up having about 7 or so HR folks from her company and some other random people who I emailed and said, I'm doing this. You've expressed an interest, so come on over. And this VP of marketing, and just took them through, you know, some of the highlights, looking at the tools, here's what you can do, here's how you can do a search, you know, here's the web application, here's TweetDeck, here's what I use it for. Those who did not have an account set up while we were sitting in the conference room, set up an account, and started using it and started engaging with people from that moment on. I kind of felt like John Jorgensen because he's really good at doing that. New people set up every time we're at a conference. But it was really neat. And, you know, they had mentioned it, and finally said that they wanted to do it. So it was great.
Well, that's fantastic. And if we give John a shout out under contract, we have to give Dave Ryan a shout out. It was part of the divorce decree. So, well, hey, we got like 60 seconds left. Was that the quickest 30 minutes of your life or what?
That was so quick.
I know. So anyway, tell everybody where they can find you, and then we'll hit the music, a little Adele, and we'll roll on out, and we'll all have a good weekend, Miss Schooling.
Well, I'm on LinkedIn like any good HR professional should be.
Yeah.
Twitter at Robin Schooling. My blog is hrschoolhouse.wordpress. I still haven't moved it over to my domain. I blog, contribute at Women of HR, Sherm's We Know Next blog. You can look me up through the Louisiana Sherm State Council. And if you don't look me up, I'll see you at the Law Sherm State Conference or National Sherm in Atlanta, HR Evolution. I'm already looking forward to that in the fall. And, you know, it's always so good to do the drive-through HR.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, folks, we're out of here. I'm going to start the music. And if you don't follow Robin, then you are a fool. So follow her. Have a good weekend, everybody. Robin, thank you so much.
There's a fire starting. dog.